Welcome to 15 Minutes of Problem Solving Discussion with Fred Kuhn and our next guest.
Today we're speaking with Janston Denton Gilda. Janston, I'd like to find out about your experience with Stewart Cooper and Kuhn. Could you share that with me?
Yeah, gladly. So my experience with Stewart Cooper and Kuhn started probably 7-8 months ago. I've been looking, as part of my transition out of the military, for positions that were at the same level of responsibility that I was at in the military. And I was having a lot of trouble landing interviews and getting things started.
Why do you think that is?
I think the number one reason is that it was hard to translate the skills that I had in leadership across the board into things that were meaningful to corporate America. I had a great deal of leadership ability and skills, but I had trouble refining them into things that made sense and that were meeting the needs of what corporate America was looking for.
So the translation of your skill sets seemed to be the big barrier. Were there other barriers in terms of communication, or were there other barriers in terms of targeting? Were you approached by the defense sector and saying, here, come sit in this cubicle, or anything like that?
I had a few people who I knew out in the defense sector. They were looking to put me right back into a worker bee position rather than a supervisory or leadership position. And that was really easy for them. There were a lot of worker bee positions where they were like, yeah, we can plop you right into this worker bee job. And that would have been great if I was maybe a retiring officer who really didn't want to work as hard. I didn't want to achieve as much. But I was trying to move from the military and advance my career rather than stay where I was or move back a step. And so none of those positions were going to demand more from me in terms of leadership or provide any advancement. They were all really steps back. I mean, those were easy. Those were kind of a dime a dozen. If I wanted to step back, everybody was glad to have me. But I really wanted to make sure that I landed and I moved across at the director level and stayed in that executive level. And that was the hard transition. And that was where I think Stewart Cooper and Valerie really gave me the tool sets to talk about the things that were important at that level so that people were hearing what they thought they needed to hear or what they felt was important from my background to really get the feeling that I'd still belonged at that level with that.
How did she go through that process with you, Janston?
So the first part of the process was to go back through all of my experience and build the share stories and build the results-based statements that were the background or the base of what I've accomplished over my career. And so we built out those and we refined those and we worked on how to best say or word the sentence to really relay a meaning that shows the results that I achieved up front and encompass the emotional behaviors and other aspects that were required to be successful in getting those results.
Did you find it difficult, Janston, to try to translate your and quantify your military experience onto the non-defense sector in seeking this job? And I noticed in your resume, it's quite a good resume. The numbers, there's plenty of numbers in your resume to show value proposition. Did you find that transition difficult? And what did Valerie do to help you achieve that?
A little bit, especially for the numbers actually spoke for themselves. I was fortunate to come from a logistics background where numbers were a little easier. But when it came to soft skills and things that were a little harder to quantify, needed to really be qualified. Both Valerie and then the resume team really transformed the words that I put that were pretty rough into something that really shined and made sense.
What was the response in the market to this new branding that you had?
So before I even left my military position, I actually got picked up for a temporary contract for the Olympics by NBC. And so they read my resume. They talked to me once in person in my previous position, and they were really excited. And again, after I finished that contract, this position that I'm just starting now, very similar response. When they saw my resume, when they saw, they were ecstatic to try and bring me on the team. And it only got better when they talked to me because of the focus I'd gotten from Valerie and coaching on what was important to talk about and how to talk about the bullets, because my resume was very operationally focused, but the position I am going into actually that's important. It's in the operations field, but they were much more concerned about leadership and customer service focus. And so being able to talk through those and relate what I'd done that I put in my resume as operationally focused, relate it to those customer focused and leadership focused skill sets, coaching me through that and working with that. That was a huge, huge advantage that I got out of Valerie's coaching.
You were doing this for NBC and then you applied to the other company. How long did that process from once you were with NBC doing that project for them, then you were how long before the other company picked you up?
So I had a contract for 2 months with NBC just for the Olympics. That ended. NBC didn't have any openings that could go permanent. And about a month later, a recruiter actually had a job opening that he let me know about that sounded like my fit, my background, and my skill level. And from the day that I saw that, it's probably taken 4 weeks to get through the process from me starting this week.
When you were going through your interview process with this company as the operations and logistics director, how did you find interviewing different in the private sector than in the military?
I don't think there's much interviewing in the military. And certainly your backgrounds are very similar. Everybody generally knows where you've been by looking on paper and the experiences you've had because of it. And so then they usually share a common experience because of that. In the private sector, that's really not the case. So to prepare for that, I think we really focused on trying to identify what was going to be most important for each of the types of interviews. So I had a set of peer interviews that were actually kind of the first weed out after the HR interview to make sure my skills matched. And so the focus on that was to have me focus on what are my team building, cross-functional skills that are going to be important to my peers and make them feel like, yeah, I'm the right guy for the job. And then we went back for the next set of interviews with the hiring manager and we refocused it on, well, what is the hiring manager going to need from me? And so those are the things we want to highlight and talk about. And the share stories we want to have at the top of our head and the part of the T-chart we want to use when we're in this interview. And then the same thing happened when I got to the last round, and it was all of the senior executives from CEO, CRO, and the SVP of HR. You know, they're going to be thinking about a different set of things. They're going to have a different set of requirements from me. So we refocused that set of interviews to make sure I was talking about those things that were going to catch their attention and of most importance to them.
What kind of questions did they ask you in the interview?
All kinds of questions. Everything from what are my weaknesses? You know, what do I do poorly? Or how have I handled a difficult situation with an employee? That was actually an area of focus for this job. And some employees who need to improve their performance. And talking about how I handled that in my past careers in the military was a big focus. How I lead people, how I get them to want to perform better, to do their best. And then the other piece was just kind of talking through questions about my experiences. Everybody was pretty energized to talk about my military experience and try to understand it from their perspective. So that was a lot of the other line of questioning.
Were you comfortable doing these interviews?
Oh, absolutely. I think I also got a good company. So they did put me at ease as best they could, but I was prepared. And I wouldn't have been prepared if I hadn't worked for Valerie to the same extent to handle even the uncomfortable questions about what are my weaknesses? Where are my gaps in capability and skills that I'm working on or improving?
You've already told me, Jenston, that I can use this to share with others this interview. With your colleagues who are leaving the military, what would be the top three things you would say to them to help them facilitate that transition?
I think one thing is patience, because when you're leaving the military, everyone does want you, but many people want you at a lower level than you are qualified for. And so if you can have patience and in making sure that you land at the level you want to be at, I think that's number one. The other one is don't sell yourself short. The experience from the military is unlike anything else. And I don't think there's a sector of corporate America that you're not prepared to be a leader in. But sometimes you got to take the time and the effort to make sure you translate all of the experiences you've had so that they're understandable by corporate America, to really show that you are that leader that is ready to take the bull by the horns in their corporation.
Would you say that just go into it blind or get some sort of help?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reason why to contact Cooper and Cooney. Because as soon as you get a coach on your team, like I had in Valerie, then you're going to start learning about yourself, how you may not have even realized what you were doing and why it was successful. You're going to start learning how to talk in a language of corporate America that is not quite the language of the military. You're going to learn how to market yourself, what channels to use, what channels are going to be effective for you in your search, and how to use all of the channels as best you can to maximize your search. And you're going to start doing work, and that doing that work about writing about what you've done, how it translates, what soft skills it took to do that, really helps you as you get ready for the interview. Because the more you write it or talk about it or think about what it is you took for you to be successful in what you did, the easier it is for you to relay that to an interviewer as you're going through the interview process.
Well, let me ask you this. In your transition, did you go through any kind of Department of Labor or government transition training?
I did. It prepared me to get a job, a J-O-B job. It did not prepare me to land in a career at the level I wanted to be at. It was not meant to focus leaders at the executive level. It was meant to focus all job seekers at the skills necessary to get a job successfully. And so I think there's a difference there.
One last note here. Would you recommend Stuart Cooper and Kuhn to others who are transitioning from the military?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a very powerful tool. Unless you want to find yourself in an entry-level job flipping hamburgers, you should hire Stuart Cooper and Kuhn to help you transition yourself more successfully.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Janston. I'd like to thank you and wish you lots of luck in your new position. Have a great time in your new career. Keep in touch.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred, or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcooperkuhn.com. See you soon.